this guy clearly has zero issues talking to women.
He has riz.
Shut up, Gordo.
Gordo, stop using young people terms.
What did he say?
He says he has riz, which was not a term even when this show came out, so it doesn't apply at all.
But it's a term now. You want to hashtag that, hashtag riz.
Riz.
Hello, fellow kids.
Riz stems from the word charisma, and I feel I'm plenty charismatic.
You're dripping with riz.
I would refuse to say that under any circumstance.
He's always dripping.
He needs a riz rag. He's dripping. Riz
rag. Oh my God. You're home early. What happened? I accidentally rizzed myself.
Oh no.
Welcome back, everyone, to S1E1, a show where each week we pick a different sitcom, watch the first televised episode, and forgetting anything we might know about the future run of that show, rate it and decide if it's a show we want to greenlight or cancel. This week we're going to be talking about Undeclared. Undeclared went 17 episodes with only one season on Fox. Here we're talking about episode 1, which was called Prototype, originally airing September 25th, 2001. Going to get things started, I'm Jay Gags. With me, as always, the boys, most of the boys, Gordo, Berg, and Nick. What's going on, guys?
Heyo.
Yo.
I have 8 condoms. And sorry, Joe couldn't make it. When he was on his drive home from the supermarket a little earlier, he got trapped in a sinkhole. He's fine. He wanted everyone to know that he's fine. And they're trying to get him and his car out, but it's going to be a while. Luckily, because he left the supermarket, he has plenty of gluten-free snacks to keep him nourished. So best of luck to you, Joe, and hopefully we get you next week.
There's always something with this kid. He also failed his orange belt, so.
What a loser.
It's been a rough week for Joe. A couple weeks.
Undeclared. This is not a show I had ever seen before. How about you guys?
No, actually.
I thought this was like a weird MTV-like movie.
So I hadn't seen it, but I had heard of it, and I know it's supposed to be like the spiritual sequel of Freaks and Geeks.
Yes. Yeah.
It very much was. Freaks and Geeks got canceled, and then Judd Apatow just tried to make Freaks and Geeks again with most of the same people.
What I don't understand is why neither of them lasted very long.
That's been the big mystery in general.
I just don't
like
fucking get it.
You know, Gordo, to backtrack to what you were saying earlier, I forget that. What's the name of the movie? I know what you're thinking of. It's is it Justin Long who's in it? What's that movie about the college?
Yes.
Van
ask
Wilder.
Me about my wiener. No, the Ask Me About My Wiener movie.
Yeah, yeah.
With Jonah Hill.
Ask Me About My Wiener movie.
That's they make the fake college.
I like watched it not too long ago too.
But I think that's what you're confusing it for.
Accepted.
I'm looking. I'm
Nick
waiting
said
for
it. He's right.
Accepted.
It's just showing me pictures of Jonah Hill dressed as a wiener.
Ask me about my wiener. Maybe
but
don't.
But if you didn't do an image search and you did an article yeah. search, you might see something
Kid's
that says
such a
accepted.
Fucking meme addict. He doesn't even have normal Google searches.
By the way, that movie sucks.
That movie is what you expect it to be. I mean, it's fine.
That's a Your Brother movie. I guarantee he owns it on DVD and has watched it like 100 times.
It is not a bad movie. It is goofy. It's of the time. It's very normal movie. I wouldn't say it's good or bad in any direction.
I would.
As far as Undeclared goes, though, I honestly, Berg, you picked this one.
Yeah.
I don't think I even knew this show existed. And what brought you to picking this one?
I was doing research to try to find my next pick, and that came up, and I started reading about it, and I love Freaks and Geeks, and then I saw the cast, and I thought we could take advantage of the cast when we share it, so I just landed on that.
Yeah, this cast is stacked. I was not expecting that.
It's like 4 Apatow movies in one.
Well, yeah, it's a couple things go into that. Like I said before, Freaks and Geeks ends, and Judd Apatow moves as much of that cast as he can into this show. And then also, casting director for the show is Allison Jones, who is now legendary. She has been the casting director for a million gigantic shows.
She did The Office, didn't she?
She did The Office, Parks and Rec, The Golden Girls. She's done a million shows.
Well, speaking of The Office, there's a cameo.
Yes,
we do. We'll get into that. We'll get into that when we find it.
I'm actually surprised you noticed that.
There's other cameos within this too. There's people who are just like in this in the background that you'd go like, wait, they're in it. Actually, I saw that. I saw in the credits, but didn't spot her. But it said Lizzie Kaplan was in this at some point, but I did not see her at all.
I didn't either. Yeah,
who's Lizzie Kaplan?
She's a girl that was in Party Down and Hot Tub Time Machine and
Cloverfield.
Mean Girls.
I know the name.
She was in Party Down. She's the girl.
I'm gonna have to Google her.
Rick, how are you not like? What else do I need to tell you about her?
And she's
the girl
I hate.
Yes.
Yeah, you hate every girl. You were the reason for our one negative review ever on Apple. By the way, be sure to give us a review on Apple, but not on the fact that Ferg hates all women.
I don't hate all women.
S1E1 Pod, by the way, is where you can find all the links to all our social medias and how to interact with us. S1E1 Pod, Instagram and X. I see this every week. Hit us up. We really like communicating with you guys. We like knowing how you guys found us and shows you want us to cover. And we do appreciate all reviews because they help the algorithm and then more people find us that way. But please don't leave us a negative episode review just because Ferg hates women.
You know what? Get me canceled and then you can enjoy being a three-man podcast until Joe comes back.
Well, as soon as they get the jaws of life and get him out of that car. This was interesting to cover. We talked a little bit off air. I don't fully see this as a sitcom, and it's not because it's not a multicam.
Definitely a sitcom.
I think it's humor-based, but I think a couple small jokes and take up the party element out of it. This is like also an episode of My So-Called Life, which was like more of a drama-based show.
It is essentially all jokes.
Yeah, it's very silly. Yeah.
I thought it teetered a very close line. Like this show could take the same exact tone and you take a few jokes out of it and then it's easily
drama. Yeah, but it doesn't. It doesn't take.
You could also, if they had a serial killer in it, it would be a horror movie.
That's another person we'll bring up later.
You know, if they had an action movie star, they could be an action movie.
Gordo, we already told the joke. just...
You gotta quit when we're ahead, man.
It's Gordo with his mallet and a dead horse.
I'll say this with the show though, we compared it to Freaks and Geeks. It kind of ends with the cast because Freaks and Geeks had some comedy to it, but it was like what you said about this. Freaks and Geeks was more of a drama with a little bit of comedy. This felt like it was a comedy with like a little bit of a few serious things, but it was not 90% a comedy.
I didn't even think it was that serious.
I didn't say it was serious. I just mean like it wasn't like overtly comic based. A lot of the dialogue and stuff was very normal. I don't want to say drama. Like drama is like the wrong word, but it's very normal. It's like it doesn't fall into like the comedy genre to me at times. Like there's things that are comedic, but
I think that goes back to the whole multicam versus not, right? Because the multicam like studio audience sitcom is written a different way because, like, you know, you're holding for applause or, you know, whatever it is. It's just completely different. You could shoot this show as a multicam studio audience, right? And just adjust it. You could do this with any show and just adjust it for being in front of an audience or whatever. And it would essentially be the same thing. It would be worse because that's not how it's meant to be.
Not this show and it's 50 quick cuts.
Like, well, yeah, that's true too, tough. But yeah, no, I mean, I still think by definition, it's very much a situational comedy. It's just not a, you know, multi-camera studio audience sitcom. Like, there's two kinds, pretty much.
Have we determined what is a sitcom? Have we ever had this discussion?
Yes, we have a million times because we've established that you don't know what a sitcom is. And
what show did he adamantly denies as a sitcom? Yeah, no, but there was one that was clearly
that he was
one.
Like hellbent wasn't a sitcom. I can't remember which one it was now.
Oh, it was that show. Yes.
That show.
I can tell you.
It was like a month ago. I can't think of it.
I will tell you as I look through
S1E1pod.com, Gordo.
Yes, S1E1pod.com. That's actually where I'm looking. Out of This World? No, that wasn't what I was adamant about.
I think it was Out of This World that you kept saying wasn't a sitcom, which was like a super sitcom.
No, actually, I think that was it.
Yeah, I'm looking at our like final votes, and that was the only one where you like skewed from everybody definitively. And that was like a straight up multicam sitcom. Like the most sitcom of sitcoms.
But hey, just in case we're wrong, send us a message. Yeah.
Sitcoms can suck. That's part of what we do here.
You know, if our fans out there can correct us too, because I know that we have a bunch of fans.
Good point.
Sorry, I had a point and then I lost the thought.
To go back to what a sitcom is, it's like, it has to be, like I said, it's right in the name, situational comedy. But there's like certain rules, like it has to be in a specific place and the episodes all have to be self-contained and obviously a comedy.
Okay, so considering what we do, one of those rules we can't necessarily prove or disprove, right?
No, from watching the first episode alone, we can't prove if it's self-contained because exactly. We don't know what happens the next episode.
Right. So, and that was my, without having seen the second episode of this show, I could see this not being self-contained, which would lead toward Jay being right. But again, I don't know.
Say it again.
Comedy, though, is not a sitcom by itself.
That's where I think we tend to skew sometimes with shows. Just because it's a comedic show doesn't necessarily mean it's a sitcom. But, I mean, regardless, it's not, I mean, we can't debate that forever because I want to get into this episode. I think there's a lot to talk about here, so I want to get into it. Show opens up and we see the character Steven, played by Jay Baruchel, and he's getting his, like, pre-college haircut. First off, I hope I said his last name right.
He's so young in this. It's crazy.
I know, he's got such a baby face.
He already kind of has, like, a baby face compared to, like, his crew. Like, he always looks like younger. So here where he's legit young, and then you would know him from all the other things with some of these guys, but like, She's Out of My League.
That's
it's probably
favorite.
like his starring role, but then all the other movies he does.
He's technically the main character of This Is the End.
Yeah, and then just like a lot of just the movies with like that crew, he's just in a lot of them, like Knocked Up and stuff like that.
He was also in the much later seasons of Trailer Park Boys.
Oh, yeah.
Because he's maybe from that part of Canada, too, or close.
And then we're saying how there's, like, just a bunch of, like, bigger actors and tiny roles. He's getting his haircut, and his buddy's just, like, sitting there watching. And this is, like, you only see him in the opening scene. And he's with his buddy Jack, who's played by Simon Helberg, who's Howard in The Big Bang Theory.
He doesn't look any different, unlike...
Nope.
Like, any younger...
You see him, you go, oh, shit. And then I looked it up, and it's like, he's only in this episode, and he was only in the scene. Well, the scene carries over, but he's only in this for, like, a minute.
Yeah, weird.
Big plans for season two.
And, he's getting his hair cut, and then it flashes to them, like, later back at Steven's house, and Steven's, like, working out with these resistance bands. And he's basically just, like, amped up for college. He's like, oh, I'm a new me. Like, I grew 7 inches since senior year. And he's just really excited at the prospect of like going to college and like living life. And he thinks he's like just this new cooler guy. And his buddy's basically like, you're no different than before. Like you're the exact same person. Just because you got a haircut and grew taller does not make you a different person.
It's weird to see Jay Baruchel in this type of role because, well, he's usually the like the like down on himself, like mopey, like guy.
Seeing
so,
him confident, I guess.
Exactly.
But that kind of goes away, like in this very.
It does.
Scene,
He morphs into the right version of himself, I guess.
Because his buddy's telling him like you're still the same kid who threw up in the fifth grade and had his finger reattached after woodshop.
I don't know. That's kind of a badass one.
Yeah, that's not a bad thing.
That's a conversation starter. You show that scar, and you're like, yeah.
That's pretty severe, if you had your finger completely detached at one point, but, and he's replying like, oh yeah? He's like, well, would the old me do this? And he just picks up this X-Files poster and rips it in half. And his buddy's like, what the hell are you doing? I would have taken that.
And then he has remorse about ripping it himself.
Immediately, yeah. Oh God, what did I do?
Now, did anybody else think that he wasn't going to be able to rip it?
I thought that was
going to be the joke.
No, I didn't think I thought there was a joke before, but I didn't think that he couldn't rip it. I thought he was going to wimp out and not do it.
Yeah. Yeah, I was leaning more that way.
And funny enough, when you look while he's doing that, behind him is a Spinal Tap poster that I think I still own. It's not hanging up anywhere, but It's this old Spinal Tap poster that I used to have forever. It was in my old room growing up, and then I brought it over to like the igloo where I used to live, the old apartment I lived at. We used to all hang out at, and like it was so weird to see that specific poster because that poster was part of my life for so long.
He has the action figures too, doesn't he?
There's three different Spinal Tap things that happen in this episode, and I don't understand it because it's not addressed at all.
Just a Judd Apatow thing, I'm sure.
Yeah, there had to be some sort of a connection there that, like, I don't know. It was just really interesting to track as it was happening. Now, Gordo, you being a big Simpsons guy, are you a Spinal Tap fan at all?
Oh, absolutely. I love Spinal Tap. It's one of my favorite movies of all time.
I was going to say, like, you know, like, you got a lot of Simpsons voice acting, like, going on in that that cast.
Well, I love all those, like, Christopher Guest movies, but that one is, like, I still quote that to this day.
Yeah, I wish that's one of those times I wish Joe was around right now. I know Joe's another big Spinal Tap guy.
That's going to be the first, like, super successful mockumentary, right?
It's got to be.
I feel like it is. There might be other examples.
I know there's others, but, like, that was successful. Everyone knows that movie.
That one is one of those ones that often when other mockumentaries come out, that is cited as the inspiration behind it. Like, oh, yeah, we definitely took from Spinal Tap.
That's the gold standard, I think, for mockumentaries as far as the way it's shot and the way it's done.
It was just one of those ones where throughout the whole movie, and I mean, obviously, I don't want to make this a whole Spinal Tap episode, but the beauty of it is that it was, you know, and The Office took from this later, is it's playing into the seriousness. Like, it's silly, but the actors aren't being silly. You're putting serious acting in silly situations. And that's where the comedy comes out.
Right.
Like the Stonehenge scene.
Yes. That was like just the little opening scene. And we get into the intro, and I thought the intro could have been a lot better for a show like this. I think this was like kind of like a, if you watch the intro without any context, you would think this show is something very different. You're just getting like a very generic music with kind of like flashing pictures of the cast and stuff like that. Just nothing that really stood out. I thought something a little bit more upbeat and fun would have worked for a show like this.
Yeah, I'll say this about it. I watched it today, and I don't remember it whatsoever. That intro, so...
Yeah.
Yeah, they have, like, faces around, like, ID cards for the college.
Yeah, like, flashing pictures. It was, like, a sepia tone type of back behind the picture. Yeah. It's just nothing like, I don't know, just didn't do any justice to the show itself.
Did they say what college they went to?
Yeah, it was a fictitious college. It was University of Northeastern California.
Okay.
Which I looked up and I didn't see any matches, so I'm going to assume that this is a fake college.
I mean, it probably is, but I know when I went to go look at it, the ID in the beginning, it flashed down right as I went, oh, and that was that. I know I could have paused it and went back a couple of seconds, but...
Yeah. No, but I did, and yeah, I didn't see any matches for it when I tried looking it up. So now, in the next scene, we see Steven and his dad, Hal, and they're outside. And, you know, it's just kind of that dad's about to drive him off to college thing, having a quick conversation. He's like, oh, look at you. Like, you with that haircut, you look like you could join the Backstreet Boys. Watch out, ladies.
Very stereotypical out-of-touch dad.
Yeah, this almost reminds me of the opening scene of Revenge of the Nerds when Lewis's dad is bringing them to college.
Yeah, it is very similar to that, yeah. And then you see them, like, driving off, and then the next thing you see is, you know, the cut to Steven in the elevator, and the door opens up, and now he's, like, on his floor of his new dorm. You're just kind of seeing, like, all the chaos of everybody moving inside. You see, like, the dad, like, filming one of his kids, and just, like, all the, like, everyone's moving around. There's just a lot going on. Some people are already settled in. And then you get by this one room, some girl's room, and the door's open, and it's, like, her grandmother's asleep in her bed, so she's yelling at her mom, like, Mom, will you wake up grandma and leave?
Now, were they playing Marilyn Manson, The Beautiful People, during this?
I don't remember clocking that as I listened, so I don't think so.
That either, but...
I could have sworn I heard that.
I'm not sure, because I didn't check at the time.
Pretty sure, no.
Well, no, because it flashes to two guys headbanging in a room, and I thought that's what they were headbanging to.
I don't know. So, I mean, we can keep telling you that we don't know. And then you, whether or not you supply more reasons why you think it is, I still can't go, oh, you must be right then, because I didn't hear it.
I thought for someone moving into college, he had a lack of things. Like, he didn't have a lot of stuff that he packed for college. If you see everybody else walking around, they have, like, furniture, like, tons of luggage. They got their family helping him. He's just coming in with one duffel bag.
Maybe more was on the way. We see a girl in the hallway talking to the RA, and that girl's name is Rachel, and she's played by Monica Keena. And Ferg, do you recognize her?
She's the girl that gets kicked in the face in 40-Year-Old Virgin.
She's also, like, the main girl in Freddy vs. Jason.
Oh, yeah. No, I was talking about the other girl.
Oh,
anyway.
Okay.
But yes, my bad. I thought she was Brie Larson at first.
I thought she looks just like... Oh, shit, I just had her name in my head and I lost it. Oh, God. Brittany Murphy.
Yeah, she looks very similar to that. They both have them big eyes.
Yeah.
But it's funny, would I know her from more than Freddy vs. Jason? You'd think it would be Freddy vs. Jason, but I know her more from Dawson's Creek, because she was the bitchy girl that died.
Oh.
I was spoiler a big alert. Dawson's, yeah, I was a big Dawson's Creek fan back in the day, but as the years have gone by and I haven't rewatched, a lot of that is out of my brain now.
Yeah.
Nick, I watched the finale with you.
Dawson's Creek?
Yep.
I didn't know I watched that.
You did that day.
At the end, they all just held hands and jumped in the creek.
No, Jen died.
Shh. Spoilers, yeah, man. I haven't seen it.
Full of spoilers. Everyone dies in that show.
Now I don't have to watch it. Great.
She wasn't even a main. Like, well, she was like a big character, not a main.
Dawson's Creek was on a major fault line. Everybody died in an earthquake.
But anyways, yeah, as Rachel's talking to RA, you have a girl running down the hallway, and that's Lizzie, and she's played by Carla Gallo. Is that the one you met who got kicked in the face?
Yeah, and the 40-year-old virgin when he's sucking her feet in the flashback. Yeah. He kicks her in the face.
You would also know her as Period Blood Girl from Superbad. That's how she's credited.
Yeah. And I want to say she was in another show we did. Oh, no, Ferg, you would know her from Californication. She's the porn star that Runkle dates.
Good for him.
She runs up and she recognizes Rachel as being a roommate somehow. And she's just saying, like, oh, my God, like, this is going to be so much fun. And then Steven walks into his dorm room for the first time. And that's where he sees, like, two of his dorm mates. I guess it's like from what I understand, it's probably like a two-bedroom that has, like, a little common area. That's their room, right? Because it's four guys that share that dorm.
It was confusing. I was like, wait, is this his room and they're in there? And then he goes in the other room.
Because there's four of them. And like, yeah, so I think it's two double bedrooms or something. And they're having like a discussion about wattage. You got Ron, who's played by Seth Rogen, and Marshall, who's Tim Sharp. Him with two M's.
That is weird.
Yeah, Ron, Seth Rogen, you would know from being in a million things. Half the things we've already mentioned. Tim Sharp, I looked him up. I would say out of everyone has had like probably like the least prosperous career out of everyone. Cause he's someone that if you click on his IMDb, like best known for Undeclared pops up where like with most of them, like this doesn't even like hit their top 10.
And yeah, even the stuff, as far as we go, even the stuff he is in, none of them are like sitcoms. Like it's all just strange. Like Hot in Cleveland is like the only sitcom I'm seeing pop up.
The TV Land original.
Yeah.
We should do that one of these days.
It's on the list. Well, it's a long list. It's on one of my lists. When Steven walks in, like the two see him and, you know, he introduces himself and it looks like the other two had like a drinking game made up before he shows up. So based on all these things that Steven tells them about himself, like that's going to like gauge who gets to drink and when, which like I kind of felt bad for Steven in that moment because like anytime he spoke, it'd be like, all right, you take a drink. It's like, that's so awkward. Now he's like, hey, so like, what's this game? And like, oh, we can't tell you, otherwise we can't play. He's like, oh, yeah. All right then. So I guess that's just going to be an awkward first time I meet these guys I'm going to live with.
I feel like the game was drink no matter what he says.
I think it was just they picked facts about him. And like, they asked about his height and like little things like
so
that.
So I thought that was something I thought was weird because the opening scene of the show is Steven talking mentioning exactly how many inches he grew. And then he's not sure how tall he is in this scene. It's like, well, you knew you grew 7 inches. If you knew you grew 7 inches.
So it is something important to him, yeah.
Yeah, you would know exactly how tall you are.
You don't want to brag.
Yeah.
I just want to add that Seth Rogen, he was also in Freaks and Geeks. He was one of the cast members to come across.
Yeah, there was, I forget the exact number, but I think they said like 14 people from that show came over to this show or something like that. It was a lot. So now Steven heads into his room, and that's where he meets his roommate Lloyd. And like, again, it's like Lloyd's played by Charlie Hunnam, who you would know as Jax from Sons of Anarchy.
Yeah.
Who looks totally different here. Like, he just does. As a clean cut young guy. I didn't clock who he was when I saw him. It wasn't until I was like looking back and forth, like writing names. I'm like, wait a minute.
Yeah. He's also, he does an American accent in you just
Sons
said
of Anarchy.
Yeah, Sons of Anarchy. Anarchy, yeah. Yes. But he is actually British. Or is he British or Australian or something? I forget what he is.
I think he's British. Yeah. I think. Don't quote me.
On the show, he's British.
If only there was a way to find out.
Unfortunately, we'll never know.
He is an English actor, yes.
Yeah. I'm just glad he gets to be himself for once.
Yeah. So they introduce themselves to one another. You know, when you first see Lloyd, he's like, oh, like he's laying in one of the beds and he's like, oh, you know, I can switch. Like, I'm not committed to this one. That he's like, no, it's fine. I'll take the other bed under the cork board here because the other one was under the window. And they're having a conversation with one another. And he's like, oh, what's your major? And that's when we find out that Steven's undeclared, you know?
That's the name of the show.
Wow.
Wow.
Well, full circle.
And Lloyd's like, oh, really? He's like, oh, I'm a theater major. He's in the theater department.
I don't get this because there's like an awkward silence after he says it.
It was just, yeah, it was almost like I got the vibe that Lloyd thought it was strange that Steven was undeclared.
And Steven thought he was weird that he was in theater because Steven also doesn't say anything after he says he's in theater.
Well, because I think it was just his overall, the reaction he got back set an uncomfortable tone. And now he's like thrown and doesn't know how to react back.
I was expecting like jazz hands or something. Like theater.
Yeah. Steven goes to start unpacking his shit. Lloyd's like, no, I wouldn't do that just yet because, you know, during the party, you don't want people going through all your stuff. He's like, oh, no, yeah, that makes sense. What party? He's like, oh, they didn't tell you? He's like, we're, you know, going to invite the entire campus over, kind of have like a, you know, for a first party because there's all these single girls here. So that's an opportunity for us to meet them.
Do we know where we are? I forget. I meant to ask this.
I'm home.
College.
Northern California, because that's like the name of the college.
Oh, okay. I missed that then.
Also, I can't have the name Lloyd without thinking of Ari yelling, Lloyd!
I was going to Dumb and Dumber.
Yeah, the Dumb and Dumber.
Yeah,
it's weird. We, you know, we keep talking about all this college life stuff. None of us lived out in a dorm.
I commuted.
Yeah,
me too.
And I didn't attend, but I did attend many a college party. So I visited plenty of dorms. But yeah, I never had the experience of like moving out and living in a dorm room and all that stuff that went with it.
That's okay, man. You watch Saved by the Bell, the college years. It's...
Yeah, that was how I lived through Zach Morris. No, I used to tell people, too, I referenced my old apartment, the Igloo, earlier. And even though I was in my like young 20s when I moved there, that was my fake college experience without moving out. Like, that was my just partying for a few years straight without the school part of it.
Sorry, man. School's the worst part.
I would say that watching this episode, just the overall look and feel of the school felt very authentic to my experiences visiting a lot of dorms.
It did, yeah. It's got all that cheap furniture set up the same way, the small rooms. Like, usually when colleges are in movies and TV, they're a little bit more extravagant.
Yeah, they make them a lot nicer than they really are.
They've got, like, these IKEA bedrooms and stuff like that usually, and that's just not how it is. It's these shitty fucking twin beds with not a lot of space high so you can store a bunch of stuff under them, and that's really it.
But the thing is, like, when you're 18, 19, like, I just remember the first times even just visiting our friends who went to college. Because at that age, at least in our case, like, none of us had an apartment yet. So that's the first time your friends are kind of living on their own.
Yeah.
So even just seeing that, like, just those rooms, you go like, whoa, this is fucking crazy. Like, because it's the first time you're seeing anyone you know not living with their parents and stuff. So,
right.
Mm.
But it does feel very authentic in this episode. As the two continue to talk, Lloyd's like, oh, I was going to head out and start trying to find people to come to the party. Steven's like, oh, yeah, no, like, I'll come with you. Like, I'm like really good at that stuff. Like, that's like a, like, kind of my specialty. And I was like, I'm just, what little you know of the character already, you're like, no, it's not.
Yeah.
But I mean, I get it. You're trying to fit in and make friends with your roommates right away. So he's just trying to do the right thing.
And I thought they were a pretty good crew.
Once they're all together, they make sense as a team, like the four of them.
Yeah.
Well, but you get that like when they're going down in the elevator right here.
Yeah. Yeah.
That's true. Yeah. That's the first time you see all four together and you get a sense of like their relationship.
Yeah.
I do like right before we get to that, though, the there's a quick mention like Lloyd brings up Steven's shirt and he kind of has this like bowling style swingers type shirt that has like the zebra print up front on like the black shirt.
It's a hideous shirt. Yeah.
And he's like, oh, I like your shirt. He's like, oh, thanks, man. Yeah. Like it's pretty new. And he's like, yeah, but you should probably put a jacket on before we go outside because, you know, it might get cold. And you know he's only telling him that because he doesn't like the shirt. He wants him to cover it up before he talks to girls.
I'll say this. I like the shirt. Okay.
I did too.
There was a point where like I had in like high school. So maybe so right around the age that he's at. Had a few shirts, like if I had dressier shirts, it was like in that, not with as loud a print up front, but that kind of black with the print bowling style, that kind of mafioso style shirt was like my version of dress up. I wouldn't wear a typical button up or polo, like that was what I was wearing.
Well, if you replace the zebra, because it was a black bowling shirt with zebra where it would normally be white. If you just gave him a normal white there, he would just been Charlie Sheen.
Yeah, just any print that wasn't, I think, animal print. I think animal print just is just not typical of like a 18, 19 year old boy.
Oh, you need that because he's on the prowl.
Yes.
Yeah, subliminal.
Yeah, but he's a zebra. Just prey.
He's the prey then.
Well, I guess it makes more sense.
Yeah.
He's hunting for cougars.
You also get that, there's that cut to Lizzie and Rachel's room. And you see, like, at the time, Lizzie's hanging all these pictures up over her bed. And they're kind of, this is their first kind of conversation together and kind of how exciting it is to, you know, be living out for the first time and how, you know, but as long as we stick together, you know, we'll be fine. And as this is happening, Lizzie's phone rings and it's her boyfriend, Eric, who's played by Jason Segel.
Second you hear the voice, you know, too. He's got such a distinct voice.
So he's not as like a regular on the show, but he's in like a majority of the episodes. And from what I read, the original intent was for him to play Steven. But the network didn't want him. They wanted someone who felt more like an underdog type of character.
Yeah.
He's like too thick to be Steven. Like,
so, yeah. So the workaround was Judd Apatow was pretty much like, oh, you don't want him as the main? I'm just going to sneak him in as many episodes as possible then.
Wait, so does he shows up as like different people or like he's
no,
always
he plays Eric, but he's just not a main character on the series.
Yeah.
I mean, he didn't have to sneak him in. He just wasn't allowed to be the main character. He could have been a character that's always there instead.
Well, you also see like as she's hanging up these like pictures, there's so many pictures that with him in it and they cut to them so many times. So you're just getting these close. You never physically see him in this episode, but you see so many pictures of him along the way. And when he calls, it's just that whole, he's sad because he, you know, it sounds like he dropped her off at the school and he's just like, I miss you already. And he's like getting emotional.
Yeah.
He's like, I just wanted to let you know how much I love you. That's all. And then tells her, I can't wait till I can make love to you again.
He hasn't even left the parking lot.
He says, yeah, I'll call you in 15 minutes or something like that. Like, so like there's no.
Well, she says it to him.
Oh, she said that to him. Yeah, it's not. They're not used to being apart yet.
And also, I guess you find out later, but he's like substantially older than her.
Yeah,
like he has already like he's
already gone
age.
To college. Yeah,
four times.
You know what's funny is her character, not her character, but the actress that plays her, Carla Gallo. Her and Jason Segel were in Forgetting Sarah Marshall together, if you remember as well. During the scene where he's like trying to get over and he just starts sleeping with all the random girls.
She's the first one.
Hi.
Yeah.
She's the one that, hi.
Yeah.
Hi. Hi. And so she's the one who's like, you can gag me if you want.
It's like, well, I kind of want to now.
Yeah. Oh, she loves to fuck and bleed. That's like two very things.
You're not wrong though. Yeah. Okay. She's got a very
and everything we've covered so far, she's either had sex or bled.
And everything she's done, she's kind of just been that person. Yeah.
What a weird typecast.
It is.
Someone's got to do it.
We then cut to the four guys in the elevator together. You mentioned earlier, and they're getting ready to pass out flyers to this party. And a girl steps on the elevator and the four are all standing behind her and she's up front. And it's just like, it's silent. There's no dialogue. And you just see all four of them kind of like, someone give her a flyer. Someone invited her to this party. And no one can muster up the energy to, oh, the nerve to do it. And I thought it was good for the four characters because it like kind of put them all on the same level together and it kind of gave them like a little
bit. It was
a little
out of character for Charlie Hunnam's character, though.
Exactly. That's how I felt because we see later like Lloyd's incredibly comfortable with girls.
But I like the scene a lot. It shows that other than him, you assume that Steven's like the dork and they're all kind of cool, but they're all just socially awkward.
Yeah, I mean, they're all starting fresh, right? I think that's the thing a lot of people, they do it with high school, they do it with college, they do it when they start a new job. It's always an opportunity to start fresh, right? So depending on who you are, if there's things about your personality type you want to be different or consider different, it's kind of your opportunity to just, people who don't know you, you can kind of start over again a little bit. But I mean, inherently, you are who you are, you know what I mean? So you fall back into that stuff pretty quick.
Yeah.
Then your home friends visit. Everyone knows you're a geek.
Yeah. That's why Ferg separates every aspect of his life as hard as humanly possible.
I could be 10 different Fergs.
Hey, Steve, you told us you were going to teach us how to play do the hustle. I like she gets off the elevator without ever being invited to the party. And all they're saying to each other is like, oh, that was embarrassing.
Yeah.
You think she'll come? No one talked to her.
It was like, one of them was like, I don't even want to hold these things now. Like, it's just embarrassed to even have the flyers. We make it outside, and now we kind of get like a montage of like all these different clips of them going about asking people to go to this party. And the very first one we see is Steven walks up to a girl to invite her to the party, and that girl's Jenna Fischer.
Yep.
And this is a pre-office Jenna Fischer, obviously.
Very frizzy curly hair, like wildly yep. curly hair.
And he's inviting her to the party, and she's like, oh, no, I'm a senior. He's like, no, that's fine. He's like, no, sweetie, I'm not coming to your party. He's like, wow, like, that sucked.
Denied.
It was funny because, you know, to peel back to anyone listening, I'll put, like, whatever episodes we're covering in, like, a drive so anyone could watch it wherever they are. And I don't know how, but I somehow put a director's commentary version in the drive, and I didn't catch it until late. I ended up listening to that one as well because I was like, oh, this will be fun to kind of get some extra insight. Spoiler, it really wasn't. They told you very little. They kind of just talked more about just life at that time and not about specifics to the episode. When she popped up, Judd Apatow was like, oh, and that's Jenna Fischer. She's on that new U.S. version of The Office that just started. And it was just like, it was so weird for him
yeah,
to say.
Even
when
that commentary's old.
Yeah, the commentary, because it was just like, the show just came out and it wasn't like The Office yet. Like, you know, she just got the role, but it just was like that show that may not make it out of the first season.
Yeah. I mean, it's funny too, because in life, 4-year age gaps are not that big, right? But like when she speaks to him like, you know, like your aunt might speak to you. She's like, oh, honey, I'm not going to that party. But when you think about it, the age gap between like 18 and 22 in college is a lot. Like, she's already done all of this stuff, like these parties and things like that. And now she's just kind of ready to leave college and they're just coming in. So I just thought it was funny, like, aspect that they're not really, she's not really that much older, but she's speaking to them like she is.
Yeah. Think about high school. Think about when you're a senior in high school and like
freshman Friday,
just being near a freshman is like, they're looked at as like so much beneath you. It's like, it's crazy.
Yeah.
And then now, you know, being our age, you know, we're all 37, 38. If you talk to someone who's a few years younger than you, you're like, yeah, we're like the same age. Like, it means nothing at this point. But now if someone's like 10 years younger than me, I'm like, oh, we're about the same age, right? Maybe that's just me wanting to pretend I'm less old.
Well, I was going to say, and then the younger person goes, no, not really.
It isn't until you go to bring up a show. That's like when it always comes out. When you talk about
hey,
stuff
you remember
you
Nickelodeon? Nah, that was already over when I was that old.
Those are always like the startling reminders. Yeah, you bring up like any random, oh man, remember Eureka's Castle? And they look at you like, the fuck was that? Like, oh, never mind. I'm just going to go jump out of this balcony now.
Go retire to this old folks home.
One of the next ones we see is Ron talking to this dude who's trying to be the DJ at the party. I love this guy. He was like I think my favorite character in the episode.
I think Apatow loved him too because he used him in the post-credits scene.
Yeah.
Just, it was just more like B footage from this scene. But yeah, he's telling Ron that he wants to do the DJing for the party, and he does like this fusion of like East Coast thug hip hop and Brit pop. And I'll say, like, anytime they had him do like a little bit of like side rapping, like I would think he was a good rapper, but it was like not comically bad.
Yeah.
Yeah, it wasn't bad.
Yeah. Way better than what I would have done.
Yeah.
You would have rhymed words with the same word. But also, I can't freestyle either, so don't worry, bud.
Yeah, no, none of us are going to the 8 Mile. That where people rap?
That is the only place people rap, yeah.
Also, Brittany Murphy.
And the North Pole.
Do you know where the 8 Mile is? Do you know what that? Okay.
I know where 8 Mile is.
Well, one of the other things we cut to is Marshall's talking to this girl, and she goes, "I've got Jesus. Yes, I do. I've got Jesus. How about you? You know what I mean?" And he's just like, it was just like this random, there was really nothing to that, but I found it very funny when I watched it.
Imagine pulling up to that conversation, and that's what that person says to you.
Well, I'm going to say she's probably not interested in the party aspect. So if she attended, she probably would not be having a good time. So
she might.
I was going to say she might.
Sometimes those are the crazier ones. Yeah. Did you notice also, so Steven goes to invite like a dude to the party.
The next cameo.
Yeah. And that's, Tom Welling. This is again before fame, but before he gets Smallville. But yeah, that he goes on to be Superman.
He wasn't at this point.
It was before he got it.
Oh, okay.
You can tell because he looks like he's 8.
Yeah, he was very young in this. That was one of the other little tidbits that came out of the commentary where they were like, he's one of those guys that we didn't have anything for him necessarily for the show, but you knew he was going to be a star when you saw him. You're like, ah, shit. Like, and they're like, yeah. Soon after that, the guy ends up being Superman.
I mean, to be fair, he did that and then kind of nothing else.
Well, that show was real big, though. If you got to remember how big that show was.
Yeah, that show was huge, and it went 10 years.
Yeah, I didn't watch it, but it doesn't mean that that wasn't like one of the shows on at the time.
I loved Smallville.
I never watched it, but like I remember the show being gigantic. Like I just remember that, like, I don't want to say like huge culturally. It didn't like quite break into that level, but it was gigantic. It was one of those shows, like, if they introduced a new character that was like harkened from the comic book world, like it would like make news. Like, like next season, Smallville's gonna introduce
Nixius Picklick.
I was gonna say some stupid Superman character.
Nixius Picklick. I can't believe how many times Ferg has brought that dude up in our lifetime.
I want to say we have. So I think that's one of those like super early episode arguments we've had, where Ferg tries to justify that Superman villains are as known as Batman villains.
I said they're better than Batman villains because they're more powerful.
Oh, I remember the argument now. Not to get into, again, the famous, not to get into another tangent, but like Superman's biggest known nemesis is Lex Luthor.
Darkseid. It's Darkseid. It's not Lex. It's not. Darkseid.
If you ask a common person on the street, who's Superman's nemesis? They go Lex Luthor. 100% of the time.
It's Darkseid.
No, you're wrong, Ferg. Listen, I'm
not
with you. I would. You're wrong, though. Yes. Nobody knows. Who the fuck is Darkseid?
Exactly. You have to think of
Darkseid was in the Justice League movie that just came out.
And still, nobody knows.
So what? That doesn't mean anything.
The problem is DC sucks.
Well, I was going to say, like, other than Lex Luger, I couldn't think of anything.
Lex Luger?
Lex Luger? Man, all those times that the total package went one-on-one against Superman.
You know what?
So anyways, yeah, so to get back into it, Steven invites Tom Welling's character to the party. He's like, oh yeah, cool, man. He's like, I'll invite my frat, like, we'll head over. He's like, cool. And Ron walks up and he's like, what the hell are you doing? You ask ugly guys and hot girls, like, you don't ask good-looking guys. We want to be the best options at the party.
I mean, smart.
Sound logic.
I feel like the frat guy would have been like, no, nerd, shut up. I'm having my own party.
Yeah, I was going to say, I would think that the frat house would have their own party.
As television usually, like, would depict it, but I do think in this more realistic version of college, people just like, you know, like, usually if you invite anyone to a party, it's usually not, fuck you, nerd, I'm going to my own party, and then they just holding kegs in the air and screaming like you would normally see in a movie. Like, this just seems more realistic.
These aren't the alpha babies.
Yeah.
You do also see Lloyd surrounded by girls and he's inviting them. And that like goes back to the elevator thing. Like this guy clearly has zero issues talking to women because they're like all around him. And he's extremely comfortable talking to them.
He has Riz.
Shut up, Gordo.
Gordo, stop using young people terms.
What did he say?
He says he has Riz, which was not a term even when this show came out. So it doesn't apply at all.
But it's a term now. You want to hashtag that, hashtag Riz. You have no Riz. That's why you are upset at me using it.
Riz,
hello, fellow kids.
Riz stems from the word charisma, and I feel I'm plenty charismatic.
So you're dripping with Riz.
I would refuse to say that under any circumstance.
He's always dripping.
He needs a Riz rag. He's dripping.
Oh, you're home early. What happened? I accidentally rizzed myself. I can go home and clean up.
Oh no.
Next we see Steven and Lloyd and they're walking and Lloyd's showing him a scrunchie. He's like, you know what this is? He's like, yeah, it's a scrunchie. He's like, right. He's like, but this is also going to be a signal. So like when I'm in a room with the girl, like I'm going to put this on the doorknob and that means, you know, do not disturb. And Steven's like, yeah. And then like when I'm with the girl, I'll do the same. He's like, yeah, all right. So, like, yeah. Not thinking that's ever going to be a real issue, but
usually a tie. You usually go with a tie. You can see that. I feel like you can miss a scrunchie.
Well, when you go to actually touch the doorknob, though, you see the scrunchie.
Not in college when you're fucked up.
Steven's like, is that really going to happen, though? He's like, yeah, of course it's going to happen.
Imagine how awkward that would be to come back to your room and then you have to go sleep in, like, the lobby.
A nice little lobby. I don't think it would be that bad.
They have a little bit of a common area. They get a couch, you know, so that's fine. You take one for the greater good. And then next when Steven walks in, he sees Lizzie in the hallway and he invites her. And she's just like hanging out at the soda machine, fumbling around with some dollar that the machine won't take. A common struggle we've all dealt with. He's like, oh, so like, if you're interested, we're having a party. She's like, oh yeah, that'd be great. Where? He's here. You're inviting me to a party on the floor of my own dorm?
She also gets uncomfortably close to him.
Very. She's very touchy.
Yes.
She does that with everyone. She does it with the roommate like earlier and stuff. I think she's just that person.
Yeah.
But you can see like him being like, he like backs up a bit because she is very touchy and like gets close. And I don't want to talk about like the future of the episode too much, but here, I don't know. I mean, I know some people are naturally like that, but I don't know. I mean, being in a relationship and stuff, like, I don't know. I think you got to be a little mindful of the touching.
I'll say this, not the will they, won't they I was expecting. I was kind of expecting the other girl and him.
They did a good job of not telecasting it, yeah, televising it, like what was going to happen, because I was unsure also.
Hmm. Also, like when this was being described like as a floor party, I guess it wasn't until I saw the party that I understood the dynamic of, oh, it's a floor party, like it's the whole floor.
Yeah.
They're lucky they have that cool RA, because usually they're like Nazis and like, no, not on my floor.
But I mean, I guess like in the surrounding, like obviously the other people on the floor don't care. But when you say we're throwing a party, you got to kind of check with the other people on the floor, right? Before you just say, hey, we're taking over the entire floor.
Yeah, I don't know how that works, especially on like the first night. Maybe it's just expected.
Because I don't think like, and now I've, you know, when we were much younger people, I attended my share of dorm room parties, but I can't think of any that like completely leaked out until the entirety of the floor quite like that.
More of the parties we went to with, like, we did go to dorm parties, but I'd say more of them were after when people lived off campus is usually how it goes. Like,
yeah, a lot of that happens once you get a house and stuff like that.
Well, yeah, you wouldn't be doing that in the hallway because still end of the day, drinking is illegal and they're all underaged.
Yes. And even though the RA is turning a blind eye, there's an opportunity for someone to report you.
Yeah.
But they do have like a nice little back and forth there. She was joking around with you're inviting me, you know, to a party on my own floor. And he's getting nervous, but she's like, no, I'm like just kidding around. Like, thank you for inviting me. When you do see that party underway later on, like it starts off with the DJ. And again, I thought he was doing a good job. He's a good party DJ. I thought he was going to be like laughably bad was going to be the joke, but he was doing a pretty good job.
Yeah, no, he did a great job.
I just think it's funny that he approached him earlier and he said yes. Like, he didn't just be like, no.
Yeah.
Well, in a lot of these settings, like, you could see it being, he's like, oh, you know, I'm a DJ, I can do all this stuff. And then the reality is when he gets the gig, like, he doesn't have equipment and he's just like fucking playing with an iPod or something like that. But that's not, you know, he was like legitimately prepared.
I mean, he bailed them out. What was the plan if they didn't have him?
Right. Because,
I mean, there wasn't all these Bluetooth speakers then. We're like,
also being a DJ is such like a risky thing in college too, because you're the guy who has to show up with like a ton of expensive equipment to a place that's probably gonna get shut down and everybody kicked out. And it's like, what do? Do you just leave?
And the
all
high
this
risk
stuff?
Of someone spilling like beer and shit all over your stuff,
stealing or intentionally breaking. People suck. But
and you see Lloyd talking to this girl and he's dripping in jizz, right? Is that what you said, Gordo?
Yes.
He's talking to that girl and he's telling her how he's, you know, a bit shy at parties. He's like, oh, it's like a communication thing. It's like, it's really difficult for me to understand the language. Obviously he has an accent, but he's English, meaning he can speak the language just fine. There was like a nice little opener for him. And then he jumps right into the, hey, want to see my room? She's like, yes. And they just head off.
And then he becomes dripping in jizz.
Not quite, but we'll find that out later.
If he followed his own rules, he would have been.
Yeah. That's true. I want to talk about that when we get to it. You see Steven talking to a bunch of girls, which again, like, I didn't expect him to be good in the moment, but he was like telling like really corny, like, so I said Mountain Dew, Mountain Don't. And everyone's like, there's just like five girls around him laughing. And I'm like, where is this coming from? Like,
yeah.
First off, terrible joke, but then the fact that like he's surrounded by girls who all find this funny, I'm like, did I miss something? Is there like a scene that I missed?
I wish it was like a Bear Fest thing when it like it just cuts the reality.
That would have made so much more sense. Like that in this moment, I'm like, this doesn't add up. And then, but while that's happening, you hear the RA like yelling from across the room, and he's like, "Hey, look who it is!" And it's like his dad just showed back up for no reason, like at night. And just like, I could just imagine like the feeling of that.
I got legitimately angry for him. I was like, no, what the fuck are you doing?
It's like the first night you're unannounced. You just show up like this is 2001. We have cell phones, most of us, but it is that crossover time. It's not a guarantee.
No, I think it's less
yeah,
likely.
We're all starting to get our like Nokias right around now. But to just walk in unannounced at nighttime too, like you have to assume, like, even if you're a parent, even if you want to take a blind eye to what your kids are doing at college, you got to assume night one away from the house.
Yeah.
You're not just like in bed early or like just in your room studying. Like that's not going to be happening.
I don't even think you have classes night one.
No, probably your moving day. I assume I never did it, would be probably not the day before you start your classes. So yeah.
I think you get there and then you have orientation the next. I don't think you have classes until like a few days in, to be honest with you.
Yeah, you got to get acclimated.
And then you see Marshall walking up to Rachel at the soda machine, the best place to meet girls, apparently. He just starts off with like, hey, do you know how to do laundry?
I mean, it's a valid question at that age.
Yeah. She's like having a hard time. She's like, can you do me a favor? Can you hold my hand? And he's like, sure. And she's like, no, I'm having a panic attack. And like, usually it goes away if I hold someone's hand and I tell them that I'm having a panic attack. I guess to like get into it, like, what are you guys? I've struggled in like the last couple of years. I used to never have them. And in the last couple of years became like a new thing for me.
Cold water is the only thing that's ever worked.
I don't know. I'm always mellow.
I don't have a thing that I do.
I don't have like a surefire thing, but I have things like, it, depending on my surroundings and what I can do, music will help. And I find that the best thing to do if I'm having like anxiety is to remind myself that it's anxiety.
Yeah.
Like
yeah.
You just have to tell yourself like, this is anxiety. There's nothing wrong. You're not having a heart attack. It's like, yeah. Just like that's, and you have to reassure yourself. Cause it's like this weird thing that like, cause it for me, like I said, I never dealt with it until much later in life. It's just something that happened like a couple years ago. I had like a 6 month kind of bout with it. And for the most part, it's done now, but it was like a learning experience that like the power of your brain and how it can just malfunction on you and how like the legit physical response to your brain activity is like, is crazy.
Not to get into like a weird TED Talk thing about it, but like recently, and by recently, I mean in like probably the last 10, 15 years. They, like, I feel like I've heard a lot about, like your gut health and how it correlates to, like, symptoms of anxiety and stuff like that. So if you're on, like, a pretty consistent, which we all do often, pretty consistent, like, unhealthy diet, like, you can just kind of fuck your brain up, too, at the same time. So, but yeah, I've always, I had this, like, I smoked these weed pens, and, like, I don't know what's wrong with, if, it took me a minute to realize what it was doing it, too, but this weed was, like, giving me panic attacks in bed every night. And I was, like, smoking to, like, oh, maybe I'm trying to, like, you know, mellow out, but it's,
I know,
what
I'll
was,
smoke more to get rid of these panic attacks.
Exactly, yeah, and it's what was causing the issue.
That's like when I used to smoke cigs when I got heartburn, and nicotine makes heartburn worse.
You'd smoke a cig and then get chocolate milk, and then you read and you're like, wait, nicotine and chocolate are the worst things for heartburn. But yeah, no, but the only thing that helps is, like, I gotta, like, scramble to, like, the sink and, like, just throw cold water on myself, and it just kind of slows your heart rate a little bit.
Yeah, cold water definitely helps. I like to go for a walk if I can. The situation dictates it. Even, like, if I'm in the office, like, I'll just do, like, a little walk down the hall or something just to get the blood pumping
some
and just
air.
Get your mind. Yeah, just get your mind off of it.
For me, it's always been weird because, like I said, it really just started a couple years ago, and it was completely based on health. I don't have any type of social anxiety. You guys know I could talk to a fucking piece of concrete for an hour.
Yeah, it's getting you to shut up. That's the hard part.
Exactly. So so what happens is, like, so I went to a doctor. My blood pressure was fucking insane. And then I started getting worried about, like, my overall health and stuff like that. And then because of that, I started getting anxiety over my health. And then you get anxiety attacks, which makes you feel like you're having a heart attack. So it was like, it was just like, one was causing the other back and forth, back and forth.
You know, I do the same thing, though, Jay. I'm like, all right, this is just anxiety right now. But there's always, like, the 5% that's in the back of my head. Like, what if this is a heart attack, though?
Do you know, like, what, like, legit I had to do was I got to a point where it was happening to me so often that I was like, something's wrong with my heart. And I had to get an EKG, and then I had to wear a heart monitor for, like, 2 weeks. Where, like, I had to, like, shave a fucking, because I have a hairy chest, I had to shave, like, a triangle out of my, rectangle out of my chest, and I had to, like, wear this thing for 2 weeks straight, and it monitored my heart rate, like, nonstop, and then I got the results back, it's like, no, your heart's fine, because I'm a big dude, I'm like, I probably caused some damage, and then, like, it, as soon as, not, like, day one, but as soon as I got, like, my results back from that and knew that my heart was fine, the anxiety of my heart being an issue went away, and then, like, so it was so crazy. So, like, not to get in a big, you know, usually we're here for the yuck yucks.
Human body's fucking weird, top to bottom.
But I thought it was kind of an interesting topic when she talked about, like, how she has a thing that she does to deal with hers. And I'm sure plenty of people listening deal with similar issues. So remember, it's just your brain. And remind yourself that when it's happening, it's just your brain.
And that you are not manually breathing.
The only way you can avoid it is if you're someone like Ferg, who's brain dead. So your brain can't harm you if it doesn't work.
I'm sorry that I'm always happy.
Unless you watch the news.
All the Muppets.
To get back into it, while he's talking to her, like, oh, don't worry, like, I'll help you. I'll try to distract you with this. He's like, what's your major? And she goes, oh, I don't know yet. I haven't decided. He goes, you haven't picked a major yet? So while she's in the middle of having anxiety, he makes it 50 times worse. She's like, what are you trying to do to me?
There's a second time that comes up in the episode. I thought that was pretty normal, but both times it was played off as, that's weird.
No, I think this is realistic because some people don't know what they want and other people know what they want to get into. Like, because you pick a school for a certain program.
Well, that's the thing. For a lot of people, their school is dictated, the school they pick is dictated by what they want to do. So ideally, and then also, if you don't know what you want to be, you have to be really careful with your class selection. So you're taking general purpose classes where those credits will mean something when you do declare what you want to be. Otherwise, you took all these classes essentially for nothing. So, you know, it can be tricky, I guess, at that point. But, you know, I think we've talked about this before, too. Just that idea of being, you know, 17, 18 years old and going, I know what I want to do forever. And be like, what? Like, my God, like, if I was to at 17 decide, like, a bunch of tattoos, like, how I'd be feeling about that now would be so insane. So to think of, like, no, have a firm handle of a job. And I've always actually been really jealous because we have people we went to school with that from the time they were like 12 were like, I want to be a teacher. And like, that was it. And then like, that's what they do. And you go like, how did you do that? How did you just know? And I'm like, here I am. I'm 37. If you go like, Jay, what do you want to be when you're older? I'm like, I don't know. I don't know yet.
Like, you go to college to do what you love, but then college makes you hate that thing that you love.
Because it makes it a job and not a passion. And it's like, it changes, you know, how you look at it.
That's why I have my bachelor's in English and I do security.
And you can't speak English.
But yeah, no, it's tricky, you know?
It is. It is. I mean, I went to college for audio engineering and I have to edit this podcast.
I'd argue that it's not really the way to do it. You know, like it's a strange like modality that's just kind of like thrust upon you at that age.
It would be nice if like your first two years of college were like dedicated towards the general classes and then you like honed in on your specialty at the end or something.
I think
like,
that's once what you had they a better idea. Planned on high school being like the end of high school, but it just doesn't work out like that.
Now, what do you guys want to be when you grow up?
An astronaut.
Taller.
I hear that. Berg?
I want to be a security guard. Dreams really do come true.
Dreams come true. Steven goes to walk into his room with his dad, and Lloyd's in there making out with that girl from earlier. And the first thing Steven says, like, oh, sorry, I didn't see a scrunchie. He's like, oh, that's because we were just talking. Oh, and they're like, I love this song. And like, yeah, let's go back to the party and listen to it. And he gives Steven a look like almost like he's upset that he walked in on him. But Berg, I think you alluded to it earlier. He made this rule and didn't do it. He didn't put a scrunchie on. So
yeah.
Is he not supposed to put the scrunchie on until he knows it's sex? Like, yeah. Oh, we're just making out right now. No scrunchie yet. Yeah. I thought that was like a little bit of a weird interaction.
Yeah. Like I felt like I missed something.
Also, I noticed during the scene, cause they were first off, they're on Steven's bed. They're not on his bed. And right above on that corkboard is a Spinal Tap poster, but a different Spinal Tap poster. Steven is obsessed with Spinal Tap and it's not addressed at all. Like,
I like that.
Two different Spinal Tap posters.
And that's what he carried in his duffel bag.
That was all he brought. Some clothes and a Spinal Tap poster.
Like how fake would it be if he got the call and was like, hi, I'm Steven. I like Spinal Tap.
That's by the way, just in the very quick research, Judd Apatow is a huge Christopher Guest fan. So
that makes sense.
That makes sense.
So it's a lot of wink and nod.
Yeah.
So now it's just Steven and his dad in the room together. And he's like, oh, so this is what all my college tuition money's going towards, huh? Gets into why he's really there. And he's like, you know, Steven, I don't want you to be overly concerned about this, but your mother is considering the idea of getting a divorce. Like, what's that, huh? Ridiculous. And I understand, like, the dad's probably going through a lot, but I guess in that moment, like, if I'm going to try to justify any of this, like, he has no idea where to turn, and he's a little floored by it, but do you have to, like, barge in on your son, like, right away to
He wasn't coming there to tell his son. He was coming there because he was hurt, needed to vent to his loved one.
Yeah.
But later on, we do find out, like, oh, I'll just crash it like your uncle, so, like, couldn't you just talk to your brother that night?
Yeah, or go to a bar.
Or call him on the phone, because there's phones in that dorm.
Yeah, exactly. From there, we go back to Lizzie's room, and we cut to this picture of her boyfriend, Eric, on the wall, as you hear the two of them on the phone together. And, like, they're just having an argument, and it's just one of those, you could tell, like, he's already sad that she went to college, and he's alone right now, right? And now, you know, she's at a party, and she's like, I don't think it's weird that I'm at a party with everyone on my floor the first night that everyone's here and a party's being thrown. He's like, no, I don't think it's like unusual. Like, I agree, but it's also like unfair for me to not feel weird. Like, it's like he's like this victim all of a sudden, like, but he's like creating these issues because he's insecure right now.
Well, it's complete opposite of their phone call from earlier where he says, you're in college, go experience stuff.
Yeah.
That's how like they hang up. And then this time
until
he's
she
telling
does,
him not
yeah.
to. The inverse. That's the word I was looking for.
Yeah, because, like, the tone changes, like, real quick. Like, because she's just, like, trying to be, like, you know, this is just college, and I want, he's like, oh, you don't think, like, I know what college is like all of a sudden? Like, you're some expert on college? Like, it's, again, it's that insecurity that's, like, overwhelming him at the moment.
Yeah.
Yeah, it almost got borderline uncomfortable.
I think, yeah, and then by the next con, I think they have another conversation later in it. Like, it just keeps going on and on.
Oh, I thought it was the same conversation.
It's always, I think it was the same conversation, but, like, we get away from it. Because, again, the show cuts back and forth a lot, a lot. And then sometimes I wonder, to listen along to us as we talk, when these scenes, like, go back and forth, like, I hope it's somewhat easy to follow. Because now we're back in Steven's room, and he's talking to his dad and asking his dad, like, well, what happened? He's like, I don't know. She says she's miserable. She doesn't want to have sex. She feels dead inside. Life's passing her by. I don't know. And he's like, Dad, I don't want to talk about this. Like, I'm at a party right now. Like, this is my first day at school. It's like, I gave you my entire life. Like, you could talk to me right now when I need you to. And I was never close with my parents in a way that I would have ever felt comfortable talking about these subjects. And I know some people are.
Yeah, but...
But sex stuff was never anything I wanted to talk to my parents about.
No, I don't even want to share when you make clips stuff with sex.
Yes, we've had that conversation too.
My mother will see it. No.
I would be... I don't want to have that conversation in any direction, but I would almost rather my parents ask me about my own sex life
and hear than about them theirs.
Tell me about theirs. Yeah, like a million times over.
Easy.
Because now, like, when Steven's like, yeah, I'm sorry, you're right, and he's trying to talk to his dad, and I was like, has she said, like, she doesn't want to have sex with you? Like, how do you attack that now?
Just like he did, because he made him go right away.
Well, yeah, because now his dad's like, yep, you're right. This was a mistake. No, enjoy your party. I'm sorry. I'm going to go spend time at Uncle Bill's house.
Which he should have did all along.
Of course, yeah. He's like, we'll talk about this tomorrow. He's like, you know, have fun at the party. He's like, thanks, have fun at Uncle Bill's. But as soon as he leaves the room, his dad runs into Ron, and he's like, where are you going? Like, you should party with us. He's like, oh, no, I got to go. He's like, oh, your wife will get mad if you come home late. And that's when he's like, you know, where's the keg? And I'll say, like, I don't know a lot about the show. It looks like, from just, like, what few promotional photos I've seen, like, the dad is a mainstay character.
Yeah.
So I don't know, like, how they keep weaving that into other episodes, but this does become a thing. Like, Hal is, like, part of this group in one way or another.
They never explain how close he lives to the college. I assume it's very close since he's already there the first day, but I feel like if they lived that close, he wouldn't have lived at college.
Right.
Depends on your situation and what you're looking to do, right?
Now, some colleges also make freshmen live at college the first year.
They want that green. That's the real reason.
They do. Because that ain't cheap.
The party continues, and now you see Ron and Steven's dad, Hal, like, they're playing, like, that version of, like, beer pong that actually involves playing ping pong that I've never personally played.
The version from Bear Fest that, like, no one ever
played. I feel
played.
Like it must exist in real life, right? I've never played that.
Yeah.
Have you guys even, like, seen people in real life play that at parties?
No, I've never seen it. I mean, no. Who the fuck has ping pong paddles? You can get ping pong balls pretty easily. Nobody has ping pong paddles.
I mean, that's a whole floor, and they'd have a common area. I assume they might have just a ping pong table for recreation, so maybe they... Just use
it's not like a huge stretch, but like, yeah, even in my travels at school, like, I've never witnessed that game being played live like that.
I actually, you know, because we live in Boston, right? So I live in Boston proper, and I have to drive by Boston University when I drive home from certain areas. And I noticed that one day I was stuck at a red light, and it was just like some random building that said like BU on it. And I look in, and there's two people on the ground floor. Literally just playing table tennis, like in like a big like floor to ceiling like window room on the ground floor, just playing table tennis. And there were like other tables in there. It was like that was like the ping pong table room. I don't know. It just struck me as odd.
I want to say, was it the pilot episode of Always Sunny? There was like a ping pong thing, wasn't there?
Pilot episode of Always Sunny had ping pong.
Pilot episode of Always Sunny was when they bring in the black guy.
Yeah, I remember that, but I want to say it was when like Charlie met the girl Janelle or something like that.
He's right. They were at a ping pong. They weren't playing ping pong. It was something else. It was like a sit down at the table, like chess style game, I thought.
I thought there was like something going on, like an all whatever, but regardless.
I feel like you're thinking about the Flipadelphia episode, which one?
No, I'm not. I know which episode I'm thinking of. I think I might be confusing what happened in the scene. Now we have that quick cut scene too to Steven, who's just now alone in his room crying. because his dad just ruined his party by telling him that his parents are getting divorced. So
what a selfish prick. Not Steven, the dad. I should reiterate.
We get back to Lizzie on the phone with her boyfriend, and that, you know, it's that argument is just like kind of continuing now, and you know, it's that whole like, you know, maybe we should just break up. And she's like, well, maybe we should, like we talked about maybe splitting up, you know, until the summer. Maybe we should just go through with it. And then he goes, now you want to break up? It's like, he's the one who first said it. Like, I love that, because it was like, again, it's one of those silly conversations, but it's relatable. Like, you can kind of remember yourself having those conversations.
He said it, and she called his bluff, and then he regretted it.
And he ends up hanging up on her. But I think right before he hung up on her, they cut to, like, their, like, prom photo or whatever. And I thought they did a good job of, there's a lot of photos of the two of them that you see just in this episode with close-ups and, like, a bunch of others that are just in the background. They spent some time, like, getting these two, like, in a bunch of photo op situations to, like, kind of plaster that wall with.
Do you think these were just do you think these are just photo ops that they took, or do you think they just kind of made them on a computer? I know it's
this
earlier.
This doesn't feel Photoshop, because a lot of times you see it in shows and it feels super fake, the photos, and these all came off authentic.
But that must have been such a fun day.
Just them, like, putting on different costumes and taking photos all day.
All right, prom pic.
So now we go to Rachel and Marshall, who are with that RA, Lucian. They're outside, and he's trying to be, like, the RA is trying to be cool. He's like, hey, listen, like, I know you're scared being away from home and stuff, and I wrote this poem about my job, and, you know, I think it'll help you out. I did get Judd Apatow had said, like, he had found a poem that was basically this poem online from some, like, weird RA group or whatever, and, like, kind of changed it up a little bit, but this was, like, based in reality.
Just terrifying.
Yeah. Imagine just loving being an RA that much.
Yeah.
But it was, if you enter my room full of tears, my hope is that you will leave with a smile. If you enter my room glowing with love, my hope is that you share in your love. And when you're feeling low, just knock on my door and say hello. I can see that on Etsy, on like on boards and stuff to put in your room if you're an RA or something like that.
Right next to the live, laugh, love.
It's the cat just hanging there.
When he reads it, she's like laughing, like, and I think at, not with, but he's like, oh, I'm glad this is making you feel better.
Yeah. I thought she was crying. I thought she cried, and then I realized she was laughing, but
I think she was laughing at like the absurdity of it. And then when Lizzie gets off the phone with her boyfriend, she's like re-entering the party area, and somehow like she's looking for Rachel, and she finds her way into Steven's room while he's just alone crying.
She thought him and Rachel would be together too.
She was just looking everywhere for her and didn't check outside yet. But she's like, I'm sorry, are you all right? He's like, yeah, no, I'm just really excited to be here. Just so happy, you know? We're finally on our own. She's like, yeah, I know what you mean. Like, we can do like whatever we want.
Eat candy and stay up late.
Yeah. We do get a quick cut to Hal and Ron on the couch drinking. I thought it was like a funny, like they have a good, rapport with one another. Yeah.
Yeah.
Cause he's telling Ron like, yeah, I'm back on the dating scene now. I'm looking for a hot young chick. And I says, Susie Zeta Jones, the hot younger sister of Catherine Zeta Jones.
Is that a real person?
I was going to say, did anybody look this up? Cause I meant to, and then forgot.
I wanted to. And I, assume no, because there's no way Zeta Jones is, it wouldn't be a hyphenated, right?
Well, they could both be hyphenated.
Yeah, I guess if the parents have a hyphenated, then no, I assumed it was fake.
And no, it does not look like that is a real person. She doesn't. She doesn't have any siblings listed.
I also don't think that if she did, there'd be a widely known in pop culture. Oh, everyone knows about Catherine's hot younger sister Susie.
Yeah.
We cut back to Steven's room, and that's where they were talking about all these things they can do now. And it's funny because I think because she's fresh off the argument with her boyfriend, she's like right off the bat being a little bit more risque with her examples, and he's super innocent. So he's talking about how now we can do whatever we want. like you said, I can eat candy all night, or I can stay up till 11.
Yeah.
Did this kid have a bedtime when he was in high school? Like,
and she's like, I can pierce whatever I want, you know, and like any guy that's not him would have been like what? Like, you know, like see where that conversation is going to go. And then she's like, you know what we should do? What? We should have sex, like for fun. He's like, yeah.
And I figured he was gonna screw this up somehow, right? But he kind of like composes himself and he's just like, oh yeah, you know. And then it just it was a little bit of a curveball. Like I figured he would screw such an over the plate pitch up,
an easy proposition, yeah.
But it didn't go that way, so it was a nice change because I feel like everybody else would have just had the guy screw it up and you know move on.
I brought it up at the top of the episode. I thought this was great. She asked if he had a condom, and he's like, I have 8 condoms. So, like, she's asking, like, for this single encounter, are you ready? And he's basically like, I went shopping before I came to college, and I bought a box of condoms. It's, like, such a weird reply.
What's in that duffel bag?
I assumed the dad was going to interrupt them, like, when he was about to...
Yep, I thought that, too.
I thought that was going to be the...
Yep.
I think that was the only reason for him to still be there. Thought it would be to cock block him, but... I was wrong. I mean, kind of.
We go back to now Lloyd's with Hal and Ron, and they're all sitting on the couch together, and Hal and Ron are just comparing guts. Like, see, it's not that big. He's like, we're like the same. He's like, yeah, I have the gut of an 18-year-old. He's like, I have the gut of a 48-year-old.
They do have remarkably similar guts, by the way.
Yeah, they look very similar in that shot.
Yeah.
It was like even like a similar amount of body hair. It was like, it really was.
Yeah. I also feel like maybe a portion of... this scene was ad-libbed by them. Like, they probably just kind of let the camera run for a bit.
I had heard that a lot of, there's a lot of, like, ad-libs that were allowed on the show.
I mean, that's kind of Judd Apatow's thing in general, is just kind of letting people get it going.
Yeah, the idea behind a lot of it was they were casting people that fit specific roles, but then they didn't want to overwrite the show until they had the cast, and then they wanted to kind of have the people flesh out the characters, like, based on who they...
Right.
Cast, which makes sense. Lloyd chimes in. He's like, it's not the size of the gut, it's what the gut represents. The poor woman's done raising her children. She wants to live a little bit.
Yeah, they basically just tell the dad, like, hey, your marriage is give and take, and you're only taking. And,
well, it starts as a little bit of a like an angel and devil almost with him having one person on each side at first, because you have Ron who's like very on his side at first.
It's just funny that these kids with no real life experience kind of understand this 58-year-old guy's like life better than he does,
especially being Lloyd, because you think Lloyd is kind of like, he's kind of being presented as a little bit more of a womanizer, you think up front, with like,
but he's also
being
a theater major.
That's true.
Yeah,
you know, so
like he keeps asking him, why didn't you take a dance class?
Well, yeah, because that was his whole thing. It was just like, you know, I'm sorry, I've been providing for the last 20 years while she stayed home and like with the kids, like, but I'm too tired. Like, I don't want to just salsa dance. And he's like, well, why didn't you? It's like, well, I've been working. It's like, yeah, but like, I'm sure she didn't want to like make you dinner for the last 20 years. Like, you know, so why couldn't you just take her like salsa dancing once? And that's when like, even Ron was like, I mean, like, that makes sense. Like, I mean, Hal's kind of like, shit. So like, I am wrong. So like, cause he thinks like these two young boys are like, if anyone is going to be on his side, it's going to be these two young kids who are like at college and like just trying to like hook up all the time. And they basically are like, yeah, man, you got to like, you know, provide and help your wife once in a while. Like she does a lot for you. And like, he wasn't expecting that. I also like no, you're not wrong. You're just less than right.
That's an interesting way to put it.
Yeah.
We cut back to Steven's room and now him and Lizzie are like full in the making out area. They cut into all like these pictures of like him and his family like, on the wall. And you get also a shot of his Spinal Tap action figures.
Yeah.
Yep.
And I like that, like, the last one that went into frame kind of had that, like, O mouth. Like, so, like, as if he was watching what was happening.
Now, I wonder if those are real figures.
They had to be real figures. I was going to look it up because I kind of want to own them now.
I assumed you had them when we were little.
I'm surprised I didn't have them. I wasn't aware that they existed, or at least forgot they existed. But, yeah, this was where I thought the dad would possibly be walking in on them, but instead it was just, you see the three roommates walk up to the door and acknowledge there's a scrunchie on it and just kind of be like, there's a scrunchie on the door.
Yeah. Like, all of them probably had better chances of putting a scrunchie on the door, but he's the one who actually did it, yeah.
Could have also been the boyfriend that busted in. Like, he never left the college. He was still in the parking lot.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. That's good.
You're fucking Billy Baldwin, aren't you?
So the scene kind of ends there. They let it, you know, it plays out. You know, from what we understand behind the doors, you know, they had sex. And then we cut to the next morning, and you see Steven waking up in bed with, like, a smile. And then he goes to turn to cuddle, and Lizzie's no longer there, but he's cuddling with a foot.
At first, I thought it was her feet. And I was like, oh, my God. What the hell?
Goo! Yeah. Come to find out, it's his dad in bed with him. And I like when they show his face, like they drew all over the dad's face. So he got the full party
experience. I don't know why, but I thought it was so funny that it just says Steve's dad on his forehead. But then equally unfunny was an arrow pointing to his mouth that said, shut this, or something like that. I was like, this was...
I thought it said shove it.
It was like shut this.
So it was like to shut his mouth.
It was really stupid.
I think it was a line of like what you can and can't do, and 90% of what you've, or maybe 99% of what you would draw on someone in those situations, you can't put on TV.
Because he would be covered in dicks.
What network was this on?
Fox. But if anyone would allow it to be, it would be Fox, but I still don't think you could draw dicks all over someone.
This isn't that type of show, though. I feel like if they would have already went like that crude, it would have already happened by now.
Yeah, true.
It's kind of funny, though, because we are in that era of all the raunchy college stuff. Like, we just did Blue Mountain State not that long ago, where it's all, like, girls in their underwear and, like, kissing and stuff. And, like, this show takes the complete opposite approach of college and gives you a very, this is what college really is approach.
Right, yeah.
Like, yeah, people are still hooking up and doing stuff and partying, but this is what it really looks like. It's not the dude sniffing cocaine off of, like, some Hooters girl and, like, you know, making out with everyone. Like, it's not that. After we see the dad in bed, we cut back to Lizzie and Rachel's room. And you could, by the conversation, you're finding out that Rachel just found out that Lizzie hooked up with Steven.
Yeah.
She's like, what, the skinny guy? And now Lizzie's like, I have a boyfriend. Like, am I a bad person?
I mean, they did break up.
Did they break up? She said, I have a boyfriend. If she has
no,
a boyfriend,
they broke up on the phone, but she tells us she's not a bad person. She doesn't know the context. So as far as she knows, she did cheat on her boyfriend, who she loves so much. So she should say, yeah, you're a shitty person.
Lizzie says here, I have a boyfriend.
Yeah.
Like, in that case, they did not break up.
Right.
So she did cheat on him. I don't think they did it. I think the conversation was, he did hang up. We know the end of the conversation. That's one of those gray areas. It's one of those, the conversation ended in a way that she could technically hook up with someone and say, I thought we broke up.
It's very Ross and Rachel, we were on a break.
I was going to say, that's the Ross and Rachel. They were on a break.
Yeah.
Yeah. After that, we see Steven and his dad walking down the hallway. And first they catch, like, Ron and Marshall in passing. And I do think it's funny that the dad never caught himself in the mirror, so he still has all this shit drawn on his face. He's like, oh, like, I like your friends. Like, they're good kids. And then you see Lizzie and Rachel walk by them. And there's that hello between Lizzie and Steven. And after they walk by, like, his dad's like, who's that? He's like, oh, that's my future girlfriend. I was like, uh-oh. Because now we're finding out, like, now Steven hooked up with this girl. And even though she even said that night, just for fun, he's caught in feelings already.
Yeah, this was predictable.
And Lizzie, the next morning, is already in her brain still with Eric. So,
yeah.
Like, he was a geek in high school, so I assume that that was probably his first time, just by how geeky
possibly
he was.
Possibly based on X-Files.
They don't
poster
say it, though, so.
Yeah.
That's why you can't have Eric barge in, because you needed to create this problem for later on. We need this awkward stuff for when he shows up.
Mm-hmm.
But Dad's like, whoa, look at you, like, you got this place wired already. They just kind of walk off, and that's like kind of the official close of the episode is that.
Mm-hmm.
You know, for the final scene, we just get that DJ outside with, like I said, some B-roll footage of him auditioning and rapping and stuff.
Yeah.
Also does decent in the B-roll.
Like I said, I was very entertained by that character.
I just love Seth Rogen's reactions. That's pretty good.
but with that, like, kind of, like, fake last scene aside, like, I did think the episode closed out in a good way where we set up the problem. And I think this kind of goes back, though, to the sitcom versus not sitcom. It's not totally standalone because we're building a story for the future. Like, this is all to be woven into one story arc. But regardless, that's how we close out. I don't have a ton of other stuff about the show, mainly because, like I said,
the thing about this show is when you're looking it up, it's just there's so many people in this show who have done so many things.
That's the story. Like, look who's in it,
yeah,
and what it could have been, and like, yeah, the same, you know, like, again with Freaks and Geeks, and I mean, under different circumstances, either of those shows could have taken off, this one or that one, and
Netflix can't save these shows.
But it's too late. That's the thing. It's like it was the era at which
yes
Netflix,
and no. Do you think if they put either one of those shows back together and tried to do something that they wouldn't do well, especially with Judd Apatow doing it? He seems to be pretty consistent.
They could do Freaks and Geeks. They couldn't do this because they wouldn't be in college anymore. But Freaks and Geeks, you can do them as adults now.
Yeah, yeah, true. Right.
I mean, you could do this as them as adults, but then it wouldn't be Undeclared and you'd miss the entire college
unless
experience.
They all, for some reason, started like working at the college or something.
Oh, like the last season of Scrubs. Ugh.
Yeah, right.
But even with like Freaks and Geeks, it's just the real problem is even though the shows weren't wildly successful, everyone on the shows became wildly successful. So it would be impossible to put that cast together now.
The money alone for Seth Rogen would not be feasible.
You look at the Freaks and Geeks cast and like the logistics of getting all of them together. And then like since then, there's been a lot of big changes. Like Franco's still kind of in that like... He's still like kind of canceled.
No, he's untouchable. You can't have him in anything right now.
Yeah, he's one of those people like you look him up and you can't figure out exactly why he's unless I just like didn't dive deep enough.
It was sexual, like, but I don't think he's. I don't want to talk out of turn. So like it's but I don't remember seeing anything where he advertently like raped anybody. I don't want to talk out of turn. I think he crossed the line a few too many times, and that was the issue.
But not quite Masterson, not quite Cosby, but
yeah. But I don't want to. But I don't want to be like I don't know. There could be something I didn't hear, so I'm no expert on the subject.
There must be something we didn't hear because he really is untouchable right now. Like he hasn't been in anything. Seth Rogen wrote him off.
Yeah, and they were like thick as thieves,
right? So, and I think even like his brother Dave Franco. Yeah, I think even he kind of like who didn't do anything kind of took a hit on it too. Something completely unrelated that I just thought of for some reason, because I was looking at the IMDb for this. So they have the roommate. This is stupid, by the way. They have the roommate, Marshall, right? Marshall, the guy played by Tim
the
Sharp.
Laundry
Marshall
one.
Nesbitt. Jason Segel is in this, who is in Forgetting Sarah Marshall. He was in the show we just covered.
How I Met Your Mother.
His name is Marshall. And... Oh, shit, I had another one, too. Is there a weird Marshall thing that is being shoehorned into all these things, or is this just purely coincidence?
I mean, there's only so many names.
Yeah, but
Marshall's not a super common one.
Yeah.
I mean, that was Clarissa's dad's name, and Clarissa explains it all. It's clearly connected.
Well, there's the other one. Yeah, there's the full link. I mean, I think it's a weird coincidence, but I think it's a coincidence.
Yeah.
I would guess.
This isn't 6 degrees of Kevin Bacon stuff. It's just, it's a name.
But with all that in mind, to not go on too long, nothing else but the green letter cancel. Again, Joe's not here, unfortunately. Currently chomping on some gluten-free snacks in the middle of some concrete, waiting to get rescued. But go in the order I see you guys in. Gordo, starting with you.
So for a show that I got confused with another show that I didn't like, even though I didn't see that show, I thought this show was pretty good. It has a great cast, great writing, great chemistry. The problem was set up good, and I want to see what happens in episode 2. Like, I want to see the further future shenanigans of this group, because I think that they all have a great dynamic. Nothing else really to say other than that, so green light from me.
Berg.
Yeah, I mean, Apatow knows what he's doing. You give him that cast, everything he touches is gold. Like, not much more you can say. It's the perfect cast. All these up-and-comers, like today's Hollywood. Everything Apatow does is good. You met a lot of characters, and we've said this on a ton of shows that we've covered, but you met a ton of characters, but you didn't feel overwhelmed by it. You got to know who each one was and what they represent. And they did a really good job with that. I could see this show being more successful in like an HBO or something where they can be a little more raunchy. But, you know, it worked on Fox for what it was. It's weird that I never heard of it until we went to cover it, which is why I picked it. Nothing more to say. Green light.
Nick.
Yeah, like Fark said, Judd Apatow really does just know what he's doing. And I like that he kind of stays in his lane. He doesn't try to go outside his comfort zone, which is a good thing. Like, he just does what works. And this is just another one of those things for him, even though it was early on. It's one of the first things, I guess. I try to ignore the fact that I really, really enjoy the cast because I enjoy them because of what I know them for more, you know, later in their careers. But even ignoring that, like, they all do a stellar job. Like, they're all, you know, seasoned actors now with a ton of, you know, credits under their belt for a reason. Like, they're all really good. And great story. I cannot wait to keep watching. I like, there's like the weird deal thing on like Amazon right now where these episodes usually cost $1.99 or whatever, but you can get them for free right now. I don't know if it's a right now thing or whatever, but I'm going to look into that because I definitely want to keep watching like tonight. So this is a very, very easy green light. Yeah, it's easy green light.
So I went into this more conflicted than the rest of you guys, but I do think it was more my hang-ups about not feeling like this is a sitcom, which I still 100% don't think it is personally. But with that in mind, I think that was clouding my overall perception of, is this show good and would I want to continue watching it? So although I still don't think it's a sitcom for a lot of reasons I talked about earlier, I do think it was a good program and I did enjoy it. A little bit of a slow start. I think it was so grounded in reality that it had a little bit more opportunity to just be a little more funny at times, but I did enjoy it. The cast was great. So I'm going to go with the green light as well. With that in mind, that's 4 out of 5 without Joe's vote. Joe, you'll find out his vote later in the week if you go to S1E1Pod. S1E1Pod on Instagram. We'll give you the final result. Joe does skew towards the green lights more so than the rest of us, but you never know. So if you want an official verdict on that, please go to our social medias. Go to them anyways, because like I say, time in and time out, I really like to interact with you guys. I want to know shows you like us to cover. I want to know how you found out about us, your reviews of our episodes, all that stuff. We genuinely like to converse with you guys because it makes the show worthwhile for us. So please go to S1E1Pod on Instagram and X. Give us a follow. Shoot us a message. We'd love to talk to you guys. But with all that in mind, that's all the time we have for this week. Catch us again next week for another new episode. But until then, thank you. Goodbye.
I think we got the best Steve's dad.
I was going to go with his hairy feet.